Accession number 31464, Mr. Dennis Goodrich, Real 6. Now, so what happened when the fleet arrived? The American fleet had arrived, an aircraft carrier.
The Shenango.
Shenango. And did you go aboard her?
Well, when did she come? Well, that's where they were taken away. We were taken off in that carrier. But first of all, the Yanks came to the camp and they gave us all some clothing and they gave us a medical treatment.
Medical treatment?
They gave a complete medical inspection. If anything really serious, they'd take you straight to hospital. But they said there was nothing seriously wrong with me. It was just malnutrition. And so they took us aboard the camp, aboard the aircraft carrier. Before we got aboard the aircraft carrier, I must say this, the only Englishman we saw was a man who came out with a piece of paper and said, "We want you, you've got to sign the Official Secrets Act."
Now, why? Tell me about that.
Well, you know, I said, why? I know nothing. Well, in case you do know something, we've got to sign it. And you will hear again, and when you get back to England, you will hear again. But you mustn't mention this at all to when you get back home.
You didn't know
anything? Didn't know anything about it, but it was Official Secret.
So what happened next then?
Well, Red Cross came in with the American Navy and the Army. They came in with the Red Cross people, looked after us, complete medical inspection, cleared us, and they said, gave us all brand new clothing and took us aboard the carrier and gave us a great big meal. The first thing they did, sat us down and fed us.
So you went aboard the Shenango.
Now,
tell, how were you aboard the Shenango long?
Yes, longer than we thought we were going to be. We didn't know how long it was going to be, but they were going to take us to Okinawa. It's off Formosa Island.
Now, what was that voyage like? I mean, how were they treating you? It sounds like it was good.
Oh, it was very good. We had nice bunks to sleep in. We had a nice place to walk about and plenty of food. We could eat food all day long if we wanted, and showers. We could have a shower any time we liked. But the journey wasn't so good as we thought it was going to be because we suddenly hit a typhoon.
Now, what was that like?
It was absolutely incredible. We couldn't get into Okinawa because it was so bad. We had to sail around in the ocean for 4 days waiting to land. During that time, two American destroyers turned over and they capsized because of the weather was so bad. And I thought, this couldn't be happening to me.
How bad was it for
you? Absolutely horrendous. Being an aircraft carrier, they're very unstable. And it was up and down and rolling all over the place. But we survived.
And what happened when you got to Okinawa?
There again, we were looked after by the Yanks, and they couldn't do any more for us. They were very, very good to us all there.
So did you go ashore there, or did you stay on the ship?
No, we went ashore there, because we had to. They put us ashore there, and we had to go further on from there, Nick.
So what was happening at Okinawa? There had been a lot of fighting at Okinawa.
Okinawa, remember that, Jill? I've seen newsreels about that. That was terrible.
What could you see when you were there?
Well, you could see the devastation because they'd really blown the place apart, the Americans. I mean, they really absolutely took it to pieces. They wanted to stop the Japanese using it as a naval base before they sailed their ships in.
And were you there long?
Not very long. I can't remember, to be honest, how much. A couple of days, perhaps. But then we had to go aboard and be taken off to Manila then.
Now, was that on a Dakota?
No. That was on an American C-47, I think they called themselves.
It says 46 here.
That's a Dakota. It wasn't a Dakota, though.
That's right. Yeah. It wasn't a Dakota.
No. I thought it was, but it wasn't. It was an aircraft. And it could also carried bombs because it had a bomb bay on it. And they had no proper seats, we were all locked up inside the bomb bay and hoping they weren't going to pull the lever.
And that was on the 19th of September.
It took us to Manila then.
And what, the flight okay? Well,
oh yes, quite. I don't know how long it took, I can't remember, to be honest.
And then what happened in Manila?
Well, once again we were looked after by the Japanese, by the Americans. And also they said, we'll arrange concerts for you. We've got some people coming out and you can go to a show tonight if you want to do that. And they said, of all people we've got to see, we've got a concert for you. Do you know a person called Gracie Fields? She said, we said yes. So they're going to put a concert on for us. She turned up to give us a concert for all the extras.
Was it good? I mean, did you like Grace Field?
No, I hated it, to be honest.
Now, why not? Why, I mean, was it because she got into trouble with going to America as well?
She deserted, in fact. And she married an Italian and deserted to America.
And you knew about that?
Oh, we all knew that. And nobody went to the concert, hardly.
So, I mean, that was a wildly held thing there, Gracie.
Oh, it was
thing,
very widely held in Britain.
So you didn't go at all?
No, I didn't go. I didn't know that sort of thing anyway.
And so what were you doing there?
Nothing really, just lounging about.
Any duties at all?
Oh, no. The Americans wouldn't let us do anything. No work, you've got to be looked after, that's all they said.
And how were you feeling? Were you putting on weight?
Feeling a lot better. I felt an awful lot better, and we were getting lots and lots of good food. That made a lot of difference.
So what happens next then?
Well, they flew us to Manila, and we were there. I don't know how long, and then we.
Looks about four days.
Yeah, they were going to take us across in another aircraft carrier. This one, a British aircraft carrier,
the Implacable,
and take us to Vancouver.
Now, what do you remember about that?
That was great, except that they wanted us to work on board there. The Navy wanted us to work. The officers at B said, you should be doing some work. If you'll be a carrier, you should be doing some work to help us get on with the ship, running the ship. But we didn't do very much.
So what did they expect you to do then?
I don't really know. But the captain was a very nice man. He said, I will show you something this afternoon. He said, we haven't had any action for 2 or 3 weeks. What do you want to keep your ears covered up? I'm going to let's see what happens when we fire a salvo from the ship. And he gave an order. And for 2 minutes, he fired every gun on the ship to show us what happened. And that was an incredible sight. And he said, did you like that? That was wonderful.
That was all the anti-aircraft guns.
And the main guns as well. Fired them into the sea.
I thought Implacable was an aircraft gun.
It was, but they carried 6-inch guns as well.
And that's impressive then?
Oh, very impressive, yeah.
And what then? Anything else you remember about the voyage to Vancouver?
No, much. That's all. We just slept a net and did a bit of work if we could. And lots and lots of showers.
So what happened when you go via Pearl Harbor?
Yeah, we stopped at Pearl Harbor, yes.
Anything happened there?
Yes, they wouldn't let us ashore. The Yanks wanted to take us ashore and show us all over the place, especially but the British Navy wouldn't let us go. They said, no, you've got to stay aboard the ship, which was a great disappointment.
Now, in your memoirs, you've got quite a bit. You said that the Navy's the worst of the... So tell us why you didn't like the Navy.
Because they didn't want us to do anything. They wanted to keep us aboard there. They wouldn't let us out at all. They were the first Navy people we met that were like that. They didn't want us to mix with the Americans at all. But the Americans were quite full of it. And in fact, you've seen it on the television where they do a welcoming dance and that. They came out with a band and all the girls dancing on the to let us ashore, and we couldn't go.
And was it all the sailors, or was it the officers, the Royal Naval officers?
Oh, but mainly the officers, whoever's in command. The other people were all right, ordinary ranks and file, you know.
So what next then? From Pearl Harbor?
Yes, well then to Vancouver then.
Nothing else on the...
No, nothing.
So you seem to have got there on October the 11th.
Yeah.
So, you know, so what happened there?
Well, we were just told we were going to be taken by train across to Halifax in Nova Scotia, which is the other side of Canada.
Anything about the train journey?
Wonderful. Absolutely. So you
mentioned this off tape as well. Tell us about that train journey.
We had bunks, complete sleepings, apartments, bunks, everything you wanted. Plenty of food on board, and they used to stop at every big station now and then and get out and have a walk, stretch your legs, and all the local people would come out to talk to you. It was wonderful, absolutely wonderful.
They made you welcome then?
Everywhere, couldn't be more welcoming. And as I said, I think when I got to Edmonton, I stopped at Edmonton, they came along the ship and said, we heard of these trains, we hear there's a man from Edmonton on this train. I said, that was me. Well, you're now a freeman of the city of Edmonton. So, well, what does that mean? it means that you can drive your cattle through the town if you want to. He was laughing, but that's what it meant.
Anything else about the journey?
Well, the people were so nice, and the scenery was absolutely wonderful through the Rockies and things like that. Really, after what we'd had to see, all this open country and all that beautiful sight. And then when you got to the plains, and when people talk about plains, they don't realise the Great Plains last for miles and miles and miles, and days across them, you know. That was great.
So then what? You're going to Halifax, aren't you?
Halifax, Nova Scotia, yeah.
And what happened there?
Well, the first thing we found out about was that it was a prohibited city. They had no liquor on there at all. They weren't allowed to have a drink, which was a great shame. But we talked to a few. I think actually before that we stopped. We stopped at the French. Was it where the French were? Part of Canada was apparently French. Quebec, yes. The in the Quebec. The French part of Canada. They didn't want to talk to us. They weren't very friendly at all. But when we got to the other part of Nova Scotia, it was entirely the opposite. I said, but we couldn't have a drink, but we could go out in the evening. And then somebody found out from one of the locals that if you went into a cafe and ordered a pot of tea, you got a teapot, but you got a pot. In that pot was whatever whiskey or whatever you wanted to drink, and you served it in cups.
That got round the prohibition.
That got, yeah.
So then what?
Oh, we just waited there for the trip across sea to home, that's all, really.
Do you remember the ship you went on?
Yes, the Ile de France.
And what was that trip like?
Pretty rough. The sea was rough. The ship was dirty. The bunks weren't very good. It was a French-owned ship. It was the equivalent of the Queen Mary, a great big ship. It was their pride and joy, the Ile de France, the French people.
And that was, that was the back end of October. Yeah. You got there 30th, 31st, I think. Nothing special about it. It's quite rough again, I noticed.
The sea was very rough again, yes.
But you're a good sailor.
Oh, yeah, I'm so used to it. Did it say where I landed on there? Did it say Liverpool?
It says Solent, so not Liverpool.
Southampton.
Didn't say.
I don't remember, to be honest, which place we came into. Whether it's Liverpool.
It's Solent, it must be.
I mean, Southampton must have been, mustn't it?
Or possibly Portsmouth, I suppose.
Well, Portsmouth, yeah.
But did you get any sort of reception when you arrived back in England?
Oh, yes, yes. Had a lot of people out to meet us, all sorts of people. The Red Cross, NAFI, some dignitaries from the Air Force all came out to meet us. And we were the first ones to come aboard from Japan, the first ones to come home.
Were you? Yeah. No, had no one else
back? No, that was the first ones to arrive.
Now, so they made a fuss of you then?
Oh, yes.
So what happened next?
We just waited to see what was going to happen, where we were going to, and they took us to a staging camp somewhere. I still can't remember where that was. And they said, kitted us out with Canadian Air Force uniforms because we hadn't got any proper clothes. They gave us all Canadian Air Force uniforms to come home with.
That was before you got back then?
Yes, yeah.
And so where were you in England? You don't know, were you?
No, I think it must have been Portsmouth, I should think, somewhere in the south coast.
And what was happening? Or were you just waiting?
We're just waiting to see what happened. And then they came around and said, we're going to get you to go home now. If we find out how we can get you home, we'll get you onto trains and we'll get you back to your homes if you tell us where you all live. They worked it all out for us. And that was it. I can remember. Oh, they kitted out with all our medals and our sort of wound stripes, all the things we were entitled to. I remember as we got off the boat, we had to go on a train to the nearest depot. And at the entrance to the train, the station, were MPs looking for deserters and things like this. And they looked at us and they said, you haven't got your hats on properly. And they we just showed them our medals and our wound stripes and words to go away, and they went away and left us in peace. That was the first official people we met we didn't like.
Now, so what happened when you got home?
Oh, I didn't get home straight away.
So where'd you go?
I had to get into the station, and we had to wait for transport. They said, we're going to get you an ambulance to take you home. So they found out all the people that lived in North London and were putting on a couple of ambulances and taking home. This was getting towards night time. It was quite dark by then. When I got to my house, I don't know whether you know this, but in those days, when a serviceman came home, they put all lights outside the house and just like they do at Christmas time here now. And I saw the lights on. And I thought, they didn't know who I was when the doctor did. They didn't know who I was at the time. They didn't know I was coming. And suddenly, my mother and father were there, wasn't it? They thought I wouldn't be another couple of days before I got home. They didn't realise it was going to be that night. And we had a lovely time talking and chatting. And I said, now, one thing I must tell you, before you do anything, have you seen those lights you put outside? And it's all got Made in Japan written on. They were mortified.
And how did generally, did people make a big fuss of you?
Oh, yes, everywhere.
What, in the pubs and things?
Oh, yes, like? Everywhere you went.
And how were you feeling in yourself?
Oh, feeling an awful lot better. I'd already put on a couple of stones straight away, you know, by the time we got home.
And how long did you get on leave?
It was just before Christmas, wasn't it? So we got a Christmas leave. I don't remember how long, to be honest. I don't know.
And then what? After that leave, was it long?
I had to go back to camp then.
Which camp? Oh, you don't know.
No, I can't remember which camp we went back to.
How long was it before you were demobbed?
We had to have our Christmas leave first, and then we had to go back to the camp and be officially demobbed.
What do you remember of the demob process?
Oh, it was quite good, actually. They took us all through everything, and all that, had to check our pay books and all that sort of thing, which I managed to keep all that time, actually. They checked who you were, what it was all about, and then they said, well, we'll demob you, we'll give you a demob certificate, and then we'll kit you out. We'll give you a civilian suit. And a raincoat and a hat, which my wife didn't like it. So she wasn't my wife, but she didn't like it.
Do you remember what was the suit like? Because some people said they were rubbish.
It wasn't all that good. It wasn't all that special. It wasn't all that special, but it was a suit.
Now, so do you remember when that was? Would that be January 46 or when?
Yes, Jack. But they told us not to wear that suit straight, still wear uniform while we were still on leave, because we were still officially on leave and we were still in the Air Force. And we were still on reserve. We could be called up if necessary.
So when you came out, you were demobbed about January 46.
Yes, and yes,
so what were you going to do? We just get you back into civilian life, see? So what were you going to do?
Well, I knew I was going to go back to my other job. But there was a story about that, actually. At Christmas that year, I went with my family and I went to the local pub, and they all chatted to me. And there I met this young girl that I liked so much. And...
Had you known her before?
No, any of these people. And we had a good time with the family, they went home and met several times later. And later on, my brother came to visit me, and this young girl came walking down the road, and I said to my brother, I'm going to marry that girl one day. He said, what? I said, and I did.
So that was how...
But I wasn't going to. I was going to serve in the... I was going to sign up in the Air Force for... I thought I'd stay on because I did like the Air Force life so much.
Now, why didn't you then?
Because I was going to get decided I was going to go home and get married and go back to an ordinary civilian job, which I did. I went back to my old diamond trade.
Now, tell me about that. Was there any trouble going back to that?
No trouble at all. They were waiting for me. They couldn't wait long enough. In fact, they said in the end, we'll hear you're home and we want you back immediately. So I'm not going immediately. I want a few days off, a few weeks off beforehand, but then I went back. That was all right then.
So that was as a diamond setter?
A diamond mounter.
Oh, of course, I've got it wrong. Diamond mounter, yeah. That was your career, wasn't it?
That was my career.
Now, tell me about the after effects of your wartime service and the PO, because there always are. Mentioned already.
I did have a dose of malaria again afterwards for a while, but...
How bad was it?
Well, quite rough for about a week, and then it sort of went away. I thought, if it gets worse, I'm going to have to do special treatment. Because when we had it originally, we had no quinine, which was what it was familiar with, and it hadn't made an effect on me. But anyway, the doctor said, you'll be all right. I think now he gave me some stuff, and after a few weeks, it was all right.
Did it come back again after?
No, not then. Not until about a couple of years later, after we were married, it came back once.
And how bad that time?
Not too bad. It lasted about a week.
Any other medical effects? Because it's quite a serious thing.
No. It was that malnutrition was a big thing, and I was getting over that fast. with good food and good food looked after. My mother couldn't do enough for me.
Now, you had no effect of the radiation, as far as you're aware. No. There's no effect of radiation.
No, none at all.
So were you aware you'd been lucky there, or?
Well, we didn't know. Well, what after is when they explained it. I said, oh, probably this explains the Official Secrets Act. I thought.
Now, did you stay in touch with old comrades from the RAF?
Oh, yes, yes.
What are you a member of then?
Well, there's one, one chap particularly. He was in my squadron with me. I found out he lived quite near me in the end, and we got together, and we both went to each other's weddings, and we kept together for years and years as friends.
But were you a member of the sort of old comrades society?
No, I went to join the ex-POW society, and I didn't like it.
Why not?
Because it was full of people who couldn't talk anything else about prison and war camps, and I said, no, I don't want that. I want to lead a completely different life from now onwards. And they said, well, they wouldn't let it go, you know, so I didn't go back anymore.
And are you in touch with anyone now from either the camps or the RAF?
No, because funnily enough, all of them I've known have passed away. There was one particular friend in mine. We have a letter from his wife every year, a Christmas card, and she keeps in touch with us. But apart from that, I haven't met anybody.
Now, the final question is, how do you feel about the Japanese? I mean, because obviously when you... Perhaps you were joking when you pointed out the lights to your dad, but how did you feel about the Japanese then and now?
Well, I didn't like them then at all. I didn't have anything about the Japanese people, mind, because it wasn't their fault. They were terrifically under the hoof of all these Navy and Army officers and people like that, and they ran the country. But I've got nothing wrong with Japanese now. I'll tell you one thing that did happen. I once said, sometimes I became... did a lot of car driving and motoring. I said one day, I can't understand all these people buying Japanese cars. I'll never have a Japanese car. I'll never have a black car. And what did I get? A black Japanese Nissan eventually.
So it didn't last.
No, it didn't. I mean, I was quite friendly with the Japanese people. Actually, they were all right. The actual people, no bother with them at all. They didn't like it. They didn't understand what the war was about. They couldn't work it out. Or they knew that they were starving.
Thank you very much.